Thank you, sir.
This is Bernstein, Megan Moore of the lot. Morning, ma'am.
Good morning. Mike?
Yes.
I have made cherry booze, and I have made apricot booze, and I'm down to the peaches now. And I have run out of Big Mouth jars. Can I cut the peaches and put them in the jug?
Yes, you can.
And it'll be all right?
Yes, it'll be all right.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right. What have you wrought upon this generation out there?
I'm teaching them how to live it up a little bit. Well, if I can show them and teach them how to love on the air, we'll have the most successful show. This is the
adult. We'd be top-rated,
yes,
as long as we'd last. Mr. Lugay, good morning. Your question.
Morning. I have a couple of questions concerning making sauerkraut.
Yes.
I've looked up several recipes. And some of them say you have to scum it every day, and others say that you can scum it at the end of the fermenting process. And also, some of them say you have to seal it in jars after it's finished, and others say you can leave it in the barrel until you want to use it.
Well, I'll tell you, it keeps fermenting that way, and it gets it smells pretty rotten anyway, you know.
Yeah.
But usually, when you make sauerkraut, you know, it should actually be canned or put in jars and sealed. The Kerr people say that fermentation will be complete in about 10 to 12 days.
I see.
Now, during the curing process, Kerr says, and I'd accept their word as the last one, they say the kraut requires daily attention. Remove scum as it forms and wash and scald the cloth often to keep it free from scum and mold. In other words, you put a cloth on top of the big crop, you know.
Uh-huh. That's just over it. It doesn't have to be down in the liquid?
No, but it'll be over it. It'll still pick up a little of the scum and mold, you know.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Okay, then. I guess that'll do it. Thank you very much.
Very good.
Sauerkraut really sour, isn't it?
That's what it is. It's fermented cabbage.
Fermented cabbage.
Yeah.
And it just keeps getting sourer and sourer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Smells rough.
Mrs. Jacobs, good morning. Your question, please.
Good morning, Dennis. You're cute. But I want to ask Mike a question.
Yeah, that's a matter of opinion, Mrs. Jacobs. Go ahead. All right.
Well, I just heard him say something about broiling salmon.
Yes.
Did he say that you are not to turn the salmon?
That's right. You don't turn any fish when you broil it.
You don't?
No.
Good heavens. That's why my fish comes out so dry, probably.
That's right.
You broil it on one side and you've done enough through and through that you don't have to turn it.
That's right.
And how long would you broil a salmon steak then?
It would depend on the size of it, but I would guess about 8 minutes if it's normal cut.
About 8 minutes on one side.
That's right. Until it flakes with a fork, Mrs. Jacobs.
I see. Well, that is something. Well, thank you so much.
We learn something new every day.
Yes,
thank you, ma'am. Well, that must be, what then, an old wives' tale? I'm not that familiar with cooking fish, but I always thought you flipped everything over at once.
No, not fish. You never turn the fish.
Never?
Never.
Well, how does it get cooked on the bottom side?
It cooks through. You see, most people have that awful fault of overcooking the fish. And this keeps it from getting that way. And you get a nice brown crust on the top side that has the eye appeal to it.
Well, you have to turn a steak.
Yes, but that needs the char on it, and that has just a little different texture altogether. The salmon and the fish is a lot more delicate.
And any fish, I mean, if it were a cod or a perch or whatever you got in there that you're boiling.
Any fish steak, that's
don't turn it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, you're the master.
I would turn trout a whole fish. Because you have two separate sides with a backbone down there. And it won't penetrate through.
But a fish steak.
But a fish steak, you just do one side.
Okay, sir.
And while it's broiling, if you're smart, you'll pour yourself a dollop or so of blackberry tulip. And put a little ice in that, maybe a twist of lemon, a little splash of soda. And that'll make the fish taste all the better when you get to it.
Helps that time go speeding by.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty pleasant before dinner aperitif wine.
Right. Ivor, good morning to you, ma'am. Your question for Mike.
Yes.
Go right ahead, ma'am.
You're on the air.
I have a recipe for black bean soup.
Yes.
And my problem is, where do I find the beans?
Well, I know they have them at the farmer's market. And most of the supermarkets carry black beans now.
No, I've tried several here in this area, Newport Beach.
Well, do you get into that Fashion Square and Orange at all? Right. There's a Jurgensen market there, and they have, I'll tell you where they have it. Richard's Lido Isle Market will have it there in your neighborhood.
The actual raw black beans.
Yes, the real black beans.
Mm-hmm.
Richard's, what is it, Richard's Lido Isle Market?
Lido Isle, yeah, they'll have it there.
Fine, thank you
very much. Very good.
How do you know all of these places? I don't know how you get to all the places you get to. You're just going all the time.
Natural born browser. I'd love to go to look. I don't buy, just look.
Food or and booze, he's got his nose in there at least, sniffing around. Hi, Mrs. Lutzinger, KNX, your question.
Hi. Well, I like to listen to you all. I enjoy your program very much. I only get to hear it when I'm not on at school, though. But I have a question about wine. I don't like to cook with it at all.
Why not?
I don't like the taste of it. I don't like the smell of it.
Well, if you don't like the taste of it, you're using too much wine.
Well, I just...
all right.
Tell if it's in a recipe. And I want to know
what... I bet you I can fix your recipe and you won't tell us. Go ahead.
Well, maybe so.
Yeah, he does that to me all the time, and it's very aggravating.
Yeah, well, so many recipes I want to fix have wine, and I just don't like it at all.
Well, let me tell you a substitute in varying things.
Okay.
With seafood and poultry and veal, a little lemon juice.
Mm-hmm.
But don't use as much lemon juice as the recipe calls for in terms of wine.
So like if it said a cup of red wine, I would use, say, half a cup?
I wouldn't even use that much. A cup is an awful lot. You're thinking of a recipe like Coq au Vin.
Well, okay, but if that, say, half of what it calls for, or about...
At least, but in the case of that, I would only use a couple tablespoons.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For a cup.
What about in desserts, your sweet things?
In desserts, you can use, again, the lemons and so forth, and fruit juices. And you can buy white grape juice, or else, if it calls for the stronger things, like the rum and brandy and so forth, you can buy rum flavoring and brandy flavoring.
Mm-hmm.
In a little, like you do vanilla, you know.
Yeah.
And, when you get involved with the porks and that type of thing and the hams, you can substitute fresh pineapple juice if you'd like.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
And that kind of thing for it.
What about in, beef dishes?
I would just skip it all together, and most of them.
Well, but if they say, like, you're making a stew and it says, say, 2 cups of red wine or something, and what are you going to put for all that liquid?
Well, I would use stock, a bouillon cube dissolved. And I would question any recipe for household proportions that call for 2 cups of red wine. I just,
limited proportions.
Yeah, but or even a cup is a little too much.
One other quickie. We're very weight conscious here. We have to be. So we're constantly on diet. So if I do not use the wine but substitute like lemon juice, what would the calorie count to be?
Be practically nothing from lemon juice.
So, I mean, I could subtract how much for the wine?
Well, the wine is will vary. If it's a dry wine, I'd say for a cup, depending on the wine again and the amount of sugar in it, but in the neighborhood of 70, 80 calories.
Now, see right there, it's worthwhile not using wine.
Yeah,
that's
but
your opinion.
You see, that's a matter of taste.
I know. Okay, well, I thank you very much, and I sure do enjoy your show.
Very
I just hear it too much, so I went on to school.
Thank you, ma'am. Very good. Wine evidently doesn't have too many calories in it, because my wife's on a diet, but that's one thing she can drink, and, you know, drink
daily. Right. It isn't as heavy as a lot of... Most of the calories in beverages of that kind come from the mixes we use with them.
Well,
you have...
Oh, I see what you mean.
Bourbon
yeah.
and ginger
yeah.
ale, or...
There's not that many calories in straight shot of booze.
No, you're much better off to drink it that way. Now, there's another thing, too, about alcoholic calories, and the Heart Association discovered this. First of all, the alcohol cooks out of a recipe. So when you, it'd be difficult to determine the exact number of calories contributed to a dish by a cup of wine, because the alcoholic calories, which are sometimes considerable, would
all
be nil.
Boil away, and all you're left with is
that
great
true.
Flavor.
That's what you're after, is the flavor. That's the second point. Now, the other point, I started to talk about the Heart Association. Dr. Maurer was their head physician here several years ago. And they ran a series of tests on the ability of the body to assimilate alcoholic calories.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out that the body only assimilated half the calories over a period of an hour. What I ended up was that if I'm going to be on a diet and want a few belts, drink them within a half hour or so.
Why is that?
Well, I'd only pick up half the calories and I'd pass off the rest of them and I'd be smashed.
What a conniver.
Yeah, you got to figure those things out here.
Too much. Listen, for people out there who are really on a diet, you know, and want to cut calories and fats and things like that. Now, be serious here a moment, will you?
Yeah, let's go with our... I've got about four great products from Hollywood Health Foods. And particularly at this time of the year, which is salad time, Hollywood mayonnaise, made with 100% safflower oil. Now, the Hollywood people themselves purify their own safflower oil, and it is one of the finest, most edible pure vegetable oils available. Hollywood, 100% safflower oil. Higher in polyunsaturated, lower in saturated fat. Now, when you take this particular 100% safflower oil from Hollywood and mix it with fresh egg, lemon juice, and blend it right, you have a mayonnaise beyond compare. That's good for your family because it is higher in polyunsaturated and lower in saturated fat. So it's good for you. Couple that with the fact that Hollywood mayonnaise is extra special tasting, too. You'll love this, so when you go to the store, pick up a jar of Hollywood safflower oil mayonnaise. Right now, it's 5 cents off on a bottle, and you'll find that it is extra special in taste for all your salad needs. And you'll find you can use it in cooking, too. So you look for it. Hollywood safflower oil mayonnaise. Delicious. And don't forget the Hollywood safflower oil margarine, too.
Mike Roy, food program, jogs along here. Mrs. Snyder, you're next on the line. Your question, please.
Yes. I live out in the valley.
Yes.
And my husband has gone on a European wine kick.
Yes.
And I'm wondering where we can find the best selection.
I can suggest about three or four different spots. You'll find that the Jurgis's Market in Encino has a good selection and can get any wine you want.
Uh-huh.
Gelson's have a wonderful selection. And that Continental Market on Ventura Boulevard in Encino Way has a wonderful selection. There are a lot more, and it's almost a shame. And, of course, Ralph's has a good selection, too.
Oh, really?
Yes, they have quite a selection and getting bigger all the time.
Uh-huh.
But it all depends on the wines you're after, if you know what you're after and so forth.
Yeah.
And, but those three are particularly noted for a big selection.
Okay.
Thank you.
All righty.
Mrs. Miller, good morning. Your question.
Oh, yes. I'd like the recipe for barbecue sauce with horse skin.
Well, that's our... I think that's their barbecue spare rib recipe, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you want that whole sauce?
Yes, please.
All righty. That's in the new Mike Roy cookbook number 2.
I don't have it right now.
You don't?
Uh-uh.
That's why he can't recall it from memory, ma'am, and he's stalling while he looks in his own cookbook and finds his own recipe. And he can't find it. What is it? It is in there, isn't it, Mike?
I'm trying to find out what I did.
What did you put it under?
Well, I think I put it under barbecued pork, I think, yeah. But I can't remember that recipe from time to time, and I just think that this is one of the great... where the heck did I put it?
Oh, here we go again. You've got to stop writing books, you know. You won't be able to do a program after another book or two. All those great recipes committed to print and out of mind.
There's a new one coming out, you know. Yeah,
oh, the Stargazers one, yeah.
Yeah, Cooking with Astrology will be hitting the market in August. And we've done that recipe so many, many times.
And now we can't recall it. Yeah. You've got him really in a dither, man, because he can't find it in his cookbook and he knows it's in there.
Well, I know, first of all, I can give you the first part of it to start out for sure.
Okay.
You'd need about a half a cup of sugar. And about a half a teaspoon of Adolph's unseasoned meat tenderizer. And about an eighth of a teaspoon of saltpeter. And you mix those all together and you rub those over the ribs the night before. And let them stand that way. And... I can't find that. Isn't that awful?
That's embarrassing, really, you know, particularly for a guy like Mike. It's his own recipe, but his mind has just gone total blank. Stop trying so hard, you know. Just relax. It'll come to you.
Well, I can't find it. I just can't find it. I don't know where it is.
Mrs. Miller, are you normally in our audience, like tomorrow?
Oh, yes, I will be. I went all the way into Chinatown in Los Angeles to get the hoisin class.
You have the hoisin?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, tomorrow we'll make it the first order of business. Because well, after the show, we'll have time to look through
his
book.
I still haven't given up.
Well, now, don't be stubborn. We got 10 minutes. You just can't sit here looking through a book for 10 minutes, your own cookbook.
Why don't you play that USO thing while I find it?
Oh, all right. Well, hang on. Don't give up yet, Miss Miller.
This is Martha Ray, straight from the USO show in Vietnam. Help keep USO going. USO gets no government funds, just your gift to United Fund or Community Chest. Someone you know needs USO.
Well, there's another 20 seconds gone breezing by, laddie.
Look, is that fast?
Now, Mrs. Miller, we'll wait until tomorrow. And she's got the hoist in. It isn't that critical. And you're just getting all upset here over this recipe that...
I'm not upset. I'm just unhappy with myself about this thing.
Oh, well, I don't feel unhappy with you.
Because I should have that. I've got so many sauces. And
when he commits it to print, he does forget it for a while. And then what's really frustrating is he can't even find it in his own book. And he's just... Mike, come on now. Let's move on to another call.
No, I'm stubborn about this whole dog thing.
We're on the air. You just can't sit there rifling through a cookbook, your own dumb cookbook, for 10 minutes.
Heck, I can't.
Well...
this time is only worth $100 a bit, so we can spend a little bit of it here.
What do you do with a stubborn Swede, Mr. Miller?
You just gave up. You know?
Well, why don't you stop looking for it, and maybe it'd come back to you. You know, natural mind. Like it.
I gotta
to
get
there.
With Dolores, so we've got these things, so I can find them. I can't even read the.
Well, you never could read reading, or.
That's right. I give up. Here's a recipe for cookies. I forgot I had. 180 cookies in a batch. Could you? Would you be interested in that? That's been printed 3 or 4 times. You know.
I know it has, and we've done it here a couple of 2 or 3 weeks or so ago, and you recalled
even...
it from memory, and you could if you weren't so stubborn about finding it in the book.
I give up.
Mrs. Miller, it'll be the first recipe on the show tomorrow, okay?
Oh, thanks a lot.
You're
all
welcome.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Now, will you stop being grumpy and looking around like that?
Can't
Mr. Chamberlain, would you come in here, sir, and change the subject before he blows his cork? Hear your question. Mr. Chamberlain.
Yes, Mike, I'd like to know if you're acquainted with Armenian cooking.
Real well.
Well, I'd like to know, how would you prepare your lamb shanks? With white wine?
I use a little sherry sometimes white wine, but I make what they call a mirepoix in French cooking.
Yes.
This is a cup each of chopped carrots and celery and onion, a couple cloves of garlic, and I put this in the bottom of a roasting pan.
Yes.
And sprinkle with salt and pepper and paprika and olive oil.
Okay.
And then I take the fell off the lamb shanks and put them on top of it. And I put this in a 450-degree oven.
For how long?
Just about 40 minutes at this juncture, because you want the shanks to brown real well.
Yes.
And the vegetables to brown real well. And you keep shaking this.
And is there sauce left over?
Wait a minute. I haven't finished yet.
Oh, okay.
Then when they're nice and brown like that, I'd add a cup and a half of good chicken stock.
Yes.
And about a half a cup of dry white wine or sherry.
Hmm.
And then cover them and let it simmer in a 350-degree oven for about an hour more.
Oh.
And that'll be your lamb shanks, and you'll have plenty of sauce with all those vegetables in it.
And what would you suggest for a side dish? Rice or...
Oh, gotta have rice with it.
White rice?
Rice with it, yeah, white rice. And if you want to, you can add some carrots and peas to your sauce.
Oh. And I'd like to know what those things with the grape leaves and the rice inside, what are they called? I think...
Some call them sarma, some call them dolma.
Oh. Okay.
But that's a mixture, and that's with flavored rice. It has a little meat in it, and sometimes has a little cinnamon or nutmeg in it.
Well, thank you very much. It's a delight always listening to you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. To market here, lad.
You got to go to Ralph's. I still am going to find that little book.
Oh, will you get off of that thing and do it? Would you? Mike, this is radio. Now, you know, all right, I'm going to be silent. You can hear him rummaging through that book of his. Why be stubborn?
All right.
In another 3 minutes, we'll be off the air.
We've got to go to Ralph's. I bet you if Martha Randall had that book, then I'd have her book, and we'd have the recipe. Because Martha Randall's books are free,
right,
and they're always at Ralph's. And this newest one, I think, is the biggest contribution she's made in the month of Sundays, because this is a book called Important Dollars to the Sharp Shopper. And you can pick it up in the hospitality section at Ralph's, where all the Martha Randall booklets are displayed. And like all the rest of them, it's free. If you haven't discovered how much you save by shopping at Ralph's, stop by and see for yourself. Compare the prices. You'll find dollar for dollar, you get a bigger bag of groceries for a buck at Ralph's. And you get blue chip stamps, too. That's at Ralph's when you go shopping. You check out the various items, and you'll find that it's a happy experience. And don't forget, great quality. The people at Ralph's are meat people, they're produce people, they're bakery people, they're deli people. So visit your nearby Ralph's Market and enjoy life all over again.
One recipe in 1,000 you can't recall. You know, don't get upset. You're not a computer. You're a human being.
No, what makes me angry, Dolores fixes me this pile of all of my own recipes. And it's a great big loose leaf book. And do you suppose I can find Chinese barbecued spare ribs in here? It isn't in the fribble that makes the world go round.
Hi, Dave. Mike Roy is standing by, hopefully, to help answer your question. What is it, young man?
Well, my dad always has a lot of parties, and my mom usually buys me the chuck steak. And
yes.
So my dad tells me to cook it. And I don't know when it's done, or either it burns or...
What kind of steak is this?
Well, either probably chuck steak.
A chuck steak.
Yes.
I'll tell you, this. Are you doing these in a broiler or in a frying pan?
Well, you usually do it on a barbecue.
I'll tell you what you do. You put that steak on the barbecue. I don't care whether you marinate it or not. And if you look at it after a few minutes, you'll see moisture starting to come through. The force of the fire has forced the moisture up. When it's all glistening wet, turn it. That's the time to turn it.
Okay.
Now, you watch it a little while longer and turn it again. Hit it with your finger. Just press it. And you'll find that the moisture will come up. And if that moisture that comes through is red, it's rare.
Yeah.
If it turns brown like a broth, it's better done.
Yeah.
That's the way you tell.
That's all there is to it.
Thank you very much.
Better luck next day, Dave.
Okay, bye.
Very good.
Okay, it's time to hit the road for dreamland here, Mike.
I'm going to go back and find this crazy recipe because it's in here someplace.
Well, I hope you do because you're, you know, unbearable when you're like this, unhappy with yourself. Now, come on, this is living, laughing, and loving time. Smile there. It's a great, big, wonderful world.
Well, sure it is. I'm happy about that. Wouldn't you know, it's time to go off the air, and I just found it. Wouldn't you know?
So long, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Bait
together.
This is KNX Los Angeles, where some of the programs broadcast are transcribed.
Hello, Ethel. How are you?
Hello, Emma. I'm fine.
Good, Ethel. Say, that's a big bag you're carrying.
Yes, it is, Emma.
How's the family?
Just fine.
Mm-hmm. What have you got in the bag, Ethel?
Oh, just a bottle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's sort of a special bottle.
Ethel, open the bag.
Okay.
Oh, that is special.
They call it the bonus bottle.
The bonus bottle?
Well, it's a whole half quart of Coca-Cola in the same great shape we're used to.
Of course.
No deposit, no return.
Mm-hmm.
Just pop it open and every bottle gives you 3 glasses of cold, bubbly Coca-Cola over ice.
I must have one.
All you have to do, Irma, is go to the store with Coca-Cola.
The bonus bottle. 16 ounces of Coca-Cola. It's got a lot going for it.